I did want to say that I will be gone next Sunday morning. We're going to Devil Springs, Louisiana for the Bible conference down there. And we decided to stay into Sunday morning and leave Sunday morning to keep from coming back till late Saturday. So Brother Justin will be here next Sunday to fill in for us. So I hope that you will be here for that. If you will, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. I enjoy this passage of scripture. It's one of my favorites. We just sung my favorite song. There's nothing like Blessed Assurance. Pennington J. Crosby, who was a wonderful poet and wonderful writer of songs. But when you think about salvation, you think about what God has given us in Jesus Christ. And these are the blessings, eight blessings from that salvation that God has given us. We certainly more than that. It's just that this passage has eight in it. So I'm going to read this passage of scripture again. This is our fourth sermon. This is our fourth topic. He says in verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into his into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations work of patience, and patience experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, our Holy Ghost, which is given to us. We have already looked at three of these. We have looked at peace, our peace with God we have in salvation. We have also looked at our peace, access to God, that we're able to have access to God anytime we want it. And we've also looked at hope, the hope that we have in salvation in Lord Jesus Christ. Today we're going to look, this morning we're going to look at our fourth topic, which is tribulations. And not only tribulations, but we have peace and tribulations if we understand the Lord. The problem is we have to understand the Lord. We have to understand the Word of God. Some want to understand the things God has given to us. If you'll turn to Philippians 4, I have a long introduction into this, and I will finish this message this morning if I had to cut some of it. God has given the believer every tool we need in life to be content. God said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Do you understand that? The Lord says, and Paul wrote by the Spirit of God, that whatever state I'm in, I learn to be content. The first thing to understanding patience and tribulation is understanding that God controls everything. Everything that happens in our life is by the control of God. And whatever God has given to you, whatever God has given to me, it is our responsibility as Christians to learn to be content in that. So God has given us Christians every encouragement we need to be content. No matter what happens in our life, the most powerful scriptures on this subject is in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. See, the problem with Hebrews 13, 5 is everybody wants to look at the last part of this verse. But the last part tells us how to be content, which is talked about in the first part. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. couple that with what Paul wrote in Philippians 4:11, and you see where God's going with this, is that we are to be content because our Father never overlooks us. He never shoves us to the side. He's always with us. He never leaves our side. So our contentment in this life is built upon and has the strength in our faith in God and in God's Word. The stronger our faith, the stronger we'll be content in this life. The stronger we'll trust the Lord, won't we? Our trust is in the Lord, and in His Word is our strength in life. Knowing that God has us, and that He will never leave, nor will He ever forsake us in any part of our life. No matter what, God never leaves us, nor forsakes us ever. So God follows verse 5 with verse 6 in Hebrews chapter 13. He says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man can do unto me. That is being content in this life. You say, what does that have to do with tribulations? It has everything to do with tribulations in our lives. Or whatever happens in this life, knowing that the counsel of God shall stand. God has already given us peace in life through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us access to talk to Him anytime we want to. He has given us hope in our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to 1 Corinthians 9. So in our Savior, we should rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That is, hope in His glory. God said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, or saith He it altogether for our sake, none whatsoever, it this is written, that he that plows shall plow in hope. And he that threshes in hope should be partakers of his hope. So it is like salvation. God gives us increase just as we water and we plant seeds. But God has to give the increase, doesn't He? That garden out there, I can do everything in the world to it. But only God can give it the increase. Only God can control us. Only God can control what happens. Only God can do it. So in First Corinthians 3, verse 9, Lord said, For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. That's what we are. We're God's, aren't we? And everything we do in life is God's control, isn't it? So whatever results are in life, as God's children, we must be content with it. Content, 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 content. It's our biggest word in life. It is God that has appointed all things for all people. Everything in your life is appointed. 2:10. Just as God did that, He has appointed our life as He did for Job. Remember Job's troubles? Why did Job have trouble? Because God loved him, didn't He? God has different purposes for things happening in our lives. Nothing is coincidental. Nothing is luck. We live, move, and have our being in this life by the determinate counsel of God. Everything is appointed of God. So when things in life happen, we must deal with them as God's doing. For us, Jesus did in his life. Everything Jesus did, God appointed, didn't he? We do not know what the Lord's doing, and we do not know what direction the Lord has for our life, nor why he is doing them. We are just as confused as Job was. Job was confused, wasn't he? Old Bildad tried to tell Job that, you know, he did something wrong. A lot of people try to tell Job, you know, you did something to make God mad at you, but he did not, did he? I've had people tell me that before. Well, the reason these bad things are happening is because you did something against the Lord. But that's not true. Stop saying things that isn't true. God loves us. He never gets angry with us. He chastises us. He rebukes us. But God is never gives us wrath. He may have ordained things for your life you may not like. He may have ordained for you to die for him. But that's all in God's hands, not because he's mad at you, because that's what he ordained. So, well, we may be as confused as Job, but like Job, we need to be content. Job was content, wasn't he? He didn't know, he didn't understand one thing, but he was content. Because our contentment is based upon God's gift of peace with him. We know we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's wonderful. We also know we have access to him at any time. We most certainly are able to rejoice in the hope given to us in Christ Jesus, aren't we? Our contentment is ours. And we must, it's like a puzzle, life is. And we must work together in life, just as Job did, try to put the puzzle together. But it all ends with this content thing, and that is whatever happens to me in life is at God's will and at God's ordained will in God's hand. Even if we don't understand it. So let's go to our first point, if we will. The Lord said we glory in tribulations. That's weird, isn't it? That's strange for a lot of people. Not for us as Christians, but for a lot of people, that's strange. That's weird. How can you glory in troubles? How many times have you heard people say, well, surely God wouldn't allow this to happen? What kind of God would allow that to happen? What kind of God would allow a man to have everything stripped from him just because he wants to show Satan how beautiful his strength is in the Lord? What kind of God would flood an earth and kill everybody in it except for the aid he had grace on in the ark? The same kind of God that's going to bring wrath to this world someday and kill everybody on it and burn it and melt it with burnt heat. Problem is, people don't know God. Go to Matthew chapter 5, if you will. So the Lord does not mention certain tribulations, does he? But he says in tribulations, meaning all tribulations, doesn't he? He says we glory in tribulations. Not in some, not in part, not in the good ones, not, but all tribulations. If there is any such thing as a good tribulation. To me, there is no good tribulation for me, but Lord have his way. But look at Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, he says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And I'm sorry, I've got my attention off. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Well, Jesus knew a thing or two about persecutions because he already knew the persecutions he was going to have to suffer. Jesus Christ suffered more persecutions than probably any man to ever live because he suffered them longer. The Lord's not talking about when we're persecuted for unrighteousness. So he's talking about when we're persecuted for righteousness. God tells us to rejoice in these persecutions, trials, and tribulations. This is part of being content. That's the reason I went started this message with contentment. Contentment helped us get through the tribulations and trials in our life. Knowing that God is in control and the Lord is either bringing them or he's allowing them. Go to James chapter 1, if you will. God said to the prophet James, Apostle James, in verse 12 of chapter 1, blessed is man that endureth temptation. Why? For when he has tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I was talking to Brother Steve McCool up in South Shore, Kentucky, or on the phone, and we talked about this subject. How a lot of people are going to lose rewards that they've gained because of things they're doing in their life. See, our judgment as Christians is not about whether we sin or not. Jesus has the sins covered. His blood covers all of our sins. It's about the things we do. It's about the works we do for the Lord that's going to be judged. Whether or not they're done righteously, whether or not they're done the right way for the Lord, whether or not they're done to profit the Lord and not profit ourselves, whether we're willing to do what God wants us to do or not, and give all glory to him for all things accomplished. Go to the book of, if you're in James chapter 1, stay there. So we must understand the meaning of God. He does not lead us into persecutions and tribulations, and he does not tempt us, he does lead us into persecutions and tribulations. He does even tempt us, doesn't he? I'm sorry about that. But he never harms us. He never causes us to sin, to fail, but teaches us and to build us stronger in faith and hope, but never with evil. We may fail at God's will in life, but we're failing because God wants us to. But we never really fail, do we? We're simply doing God's will. Adam and Eve was not set up to sin. God just knew they were going to sin if he left them to sin. God did not cause them to sin. They sinned on their own. They sinned because they wanted to. They sinned because they were tempted to. A Christian has to learn in life to avoid temptations. Nothing's about me. Nothing's about you. Everything is about God. And no matter what trail the Lord leads us down, even if it's to surrender our life at the hands of evil, that's what we would do, and we would do it with content and willingness. Millions of people have given their life for God, isn't it? Millions, tens of millions, probably even 100 million. Over time, or more, have surrendered their lives at the hands of the enemy for God. All at God's will, all at God's purpose, and all at God's glory. Our life is not our life. Our life belongs to God. And trials and tribulations, persecutions, part of it. Therefore, we must be content in ourselves. Understanding that God does these things in our life to teach us to strengthen us. So how do we glory in tribulations? That's how we glory in them. Knowing that they are the work of God in our life. Our second point, go to Romans chapter 8, if you will. Our second point is this. Our first point was we glory in tribulations. Second point is this. Everything God does in our life or allows in our life builds our faith and hope, doesn't it? The Lord strengthens us. When you look at a football team, how did they get so strong? This new guy that Dallas picked in their first round, this Muzzy guy, Smith. I don't know how I could ever forget Smith. Half the world is named Smith. But anyway, Muzzy Smith, he's strong. He lifts benches like 600 pounds or whatever. I mean, it's amazing how strong the man is. But he didn't just get that, did he? No, he worked at it, didn't he? He labored hard at it, didn't he? That's how we get things in life, isn't it? We work at it. We labor at it. And Christians must work at things and labor at it. God doesn't just give it to us. We have to earn it. How do you get knowledge? You study God's word, don't you? In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, one of the favorite scriptures of a lot of Christians, they may not understand it, but it's one of their favorite scriptures. That's amazing about a lot of people. They don't understand what they're reading, but they enjoy it. So let's look at it. The Lord says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. It doesn't mean everything in your life is going to be good, does it? No, we have bad things happen all the time, don't we? But what God is saying, everything in our life has a purpose of God in it. And that purpose of God gives God glory, because everything God does is for glory. You know that God created evil for his own glory? Did you know that God allowed Adam and Eve to sin to get glory for his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by being the Savior? Did you know that God saves us for a purpose, and that purpose is for his own glory? God created the world for his own glory, and God will destroy the world for his own glory. God saves a remnant for his own glory. And God allows the others to go off into eternal damnation for his own glory. Everything is for God's glory. So our life is not about us, it's about God getting glory, isn't it? So everything in our life, because we are the called according to his purpose, works together for the good. Even for our good. You know every saint of God that died for God's glory received rewards for them? See, our life is not based on this life. Our life is based on eternity. And while we suffer here, we will be rewarded there. Even for our persecutions, trials, tribulations. Lord uses a lot of them to teach us, to strengthen us, to make us better Christians in life. That's for God's glory, isn't it? But also to our glory, isn't it? Anything to God's glory is for our glory. We may not see it all. We may not know about it all. We may not see the purpose of it all. But God just told us that, didn't he? So please understand that God says all things work together for good It's because God said it does. And does. We just have to understand as Christians how the trials, tribulations, persecution in our life work to God's glory. So how do we know? And the Lord said, you know. How do we know? We know from God's word, don't we? We know because God told us. How do you know you're saved? God said you were. He said, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're saved, didn't he? He said, you may know that you have eternal life in Christ, didn't he? So the word know means inspired conviction or experience of effort that God has given us from his own word. We must constantly be reminded that all things are in God's ordained will and his sovereign hand and power, just as with Job. We may not understand it, and I can't count the times people ask me, Brother Randy, why does God allow this? Why does God allow this? I can't answer your question. I ain't being rude. I ain't being cruel. I mean, I could give you an answer. But do I know the mind of God? No. Why does God allow babies to be born? Or with some disease, or without arms, or without legs, or with help, I don't know. But this I do know, God has a purpose in it. Why does God allow babies to be murdered in the womb? You know, God warned abortion stopped, he would stop it, right? He can he? If God didn't want children to die at 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, they wouldn't, would they? But God has a purpose in each one of every one of them. Things don't just happen in life. God ordained it to happen. I don't have all the answers, no other pastor does. I'll sympathize. I can even empathize with a lot of it, but to answer the questions why God does what he does, I cannot. Except it's his will to do it. Which a lot of people doesn't accept as a sufficient answer, but that's a sufficient answer I can give. So we may know all things are to our good if we see the realness of God in them. Therefore, we can understand and know all things, listen to what Albert Barnes said, mutually contributes to our good. Even our death, if you die for the Lord, if you die in righteousness, your death is to your good. Why? Because God ordained it for you. Think about it. What Christian doesn't want God to have his will in our life? If God wills for us to have trials, tribulations, persecution, look what he ordained for his son, Jesus. Are we better than Jesus? So let us see how God uses this passage to walk us through this thought. By giving us peace, we know God will never have wrath upon us. Isn't that beautiful? By giving us access to him through Jesus Christ, we know that he will always be available to us to hear our prayers. Jesus Christ. By giving us hope, and that we know that God has given us everything for our glory. If it's for God's glory, it's for our glory, isn't it? Doesn't matter what it costs us. Who gave you salvation? Jesus did. God did, didn't he? And he will reward us openly for our sufferings when we're in heaven. Our growth as Christians are our experiences in these tribulations. It's the purpose in them. You think God allows you persecution just to hurt you? Just to see you suffer? You think he ordained his believers to die, his children to die, just so people could see them die? No, they all have a purpose. And God ordained their deaths. God ordained their sufferings for his own glory. Jeremiah, I love the scripture. I came up on this in my study, and I just fell in love with the scripture. I put it on Facebook. It's like blessed church to me. So listen to the prophet Jeremiah speaking to Ephraim, or about Ephraim. In Jeremiah 31, verse 18 through 19, he says, I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning. Have you ever bemoaned? Sure you have. Himself thus, thou chastest me, and I was chastened as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Thou turn me, and I shall be turned. For thou art the Lord thy God. You hear what he said? The Lord chased me. And he would bemoan because of it. He was upset because of it. Which is normal. It's human, isn't it? When bad things happen, it hurts, doesn't it? But listen to verse 19. He says, surely after that, I was turned. I repented. And after that, I was instructed. I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed. He said he was ashamed. So he slapped himself. Because he was ashamed. And he didn't understand that the things were happening to him was because of God and God's ordained will. Not because of him, but because of God. It was God's will for him. And when he noticed his thinking was wrong, he said he turned. He said, I repented. Oh, allow me, Lord, to ask for forgiveness. I forgot it was you, and I forgot that you ordained all things. And after that, that's when he turned, wasn't it? He said, after that, I was instructed and smote upon my thigh because I was ashamed. Yea, even confounded because I did bear the report to my youth. Youth means the shame brought upon me by the sins of my years and not experience. Isn't the Lord beautiful? Amen. The Lord tells us we have peace with him. The Lord tells us we have access. The Lord tells us we have hope. The Lord tells us we rejoice in our tribulation, which is hard. What's next? Anybody know what's next off him? Experience. When I get back to conference, that'll be our first one. We may have something, I may not have a full message on it, but we'll have two words if we don't. You know what experience is? The trials and tribulations and persecutions delivers our experience. You know what Ephraim got here? He got experience. His experience in the Lord and God's ordained will caused him to repent of his thoughts. Shame on me for bemoaning. Christians have no reason to bemoan. It's human nature, isn't it? It is human nature, isn't it? But we're not just human anymore, are we? We're Christians. We're spiritual. We have a second nature. Sitting around whining about what's happening to us is not godly. It happens. I do that sometimes. That's my wife. I'm on all the time. Don't shake your head yet anymore. No, I'm not serious. She does it all the time to me. But anyway, I'm almost out of time. Let's go to Psalms 23. She does know that. I do moan all the time. I've moaned this morning to myself about that newsletter. You know, God had a purpose in not every bit of it, didn't he? Now, printing them all off after printing 10, 12 sheets of paper, trying to get everything lined just right, to find out the title of my article, half of it, part of it was gone. You know what I should have done? Snapped my leg and said, oh, God has a purpose in all things, doesn't he? The problem with us at times, it's we fail to see God's hand in everything. That's what we fail to see, isn't it? We're like Job, aren't we? We just don't understand sometimes, don't we? We're like Ephraim. We just don't get it sometimes. So we need to wake up and say, oh, I forgot. I forgot the Lord in this. But we need to be like Job and just praise the Lord no matter what happens. Job never stopped praising God, did he? He didn't understand, but he never stopped praising God, did he? In Psalms chapter 23, and remember, and I love this verse too. The Lord told us back in Hebrews 13:5, the part everybody remembers, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do you really believe that? As a Christian, do you remind yourself, the Lord's never going to leave me, don't forsake me. It don't matter what happens. If a tree falls on us, if the house caves in, if the ground splits open, if someone's breaking into our home, if somebody's robbing the store, we're in it. Always remember one thing. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is our contentment. Well, look here in Psalm 23. You all know this scripture. It's only 6 verses. Well, let's look at 4-6. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will never fear evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in my presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise the Lord. I'll end with this song. The Lord will not fail us, folks. Everything in our life is to his glory. We may not sin at first, but let's be like Ephraim. When we bemoan a little bit, let's slap ourselves and say, oh, I have to remember the Lord. And the reason we think sometimes that our Lord might not be with us because things are falling apart, we show our lack of faith and hope, don't we? See, Ephraim called himself, Job never lost that faith. Ephraim called himself losing that faith, didn't he? But he woke up, didn't he? We need to wake up. We need to be like Job in life, but also like Ephraim, stop bemoaning ourselves. That is crying and moaning and pitying ourselves and spiting ourselves over our thigh. And be ashamed of the lack of our faith and hope. And wake up and trust the Lord. However, that is only accomplished in our experiences of tribulations. The more we have, the more the Lord gives us, the more we grow, isn't it? Let's all stand. But the judge is going to come, listen to the song.